Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 191, Q&A on Revival. Pastor Harley Coulterman delivered this message in Fort Wayne, Indiana on May 2nd, 2021.
I'd like to tell you my relationship with Smith Wigglesworth, the famous apostle of faith from Bradford, England. My relationship began with him when I was 20 years old, and not with my meeting him, but hearing of him. I was in San Francisco preaching, and to start my trip around the world, they said, "Have you met Smith Wigglesworth from England?" I said, "No, not yet." They said, "He was here." And they told me a number of the things that happened, but I will only tell you one. That right there in the same church where I was preaching, the Great Glad Tidings Tabernacle, that at that time seated more than 3,000 people, says he was here speaking, and on a Sunday afternoon he had a healing service, and that they brought the people from hospitals and wheelchairs and all kinds of situations for Smith Wigglesworth to pray for them. And from one of the local hospitals, the doctor brought a very severe cancer case. That they didn't want to bring him because he was so near death. The doctor accompanied him and sat by his little portable hospital bed on the platform. And here came Smith Wigglesworth, who was just a little bit gruff, down the line praying for the people. And the way he would ask you what was wrong with you, he'd say, "Hoots oop." Now, in his part of England, that was a similar way to their speaking. "Hoots oop" means what ails you, or what is wrong with you. And so he got to this patient that was laying out on a bed there and had on one of the little hospital gowns, you know, that has no buttons and buttons up in the back. There was the doctor sitting there with his stethoscopes in his ears and listening to the man's heartbeat and letting everybody know that the man was very near death. And so when Smith Wigglesworth said, "What's up?" the doctor replied and said, "He is dying of cancer." Wigglesworth said, "Where is it?" And the doctor said, "In his stomach." And Smith Wigglesworth, possibly the most unusual person that I've ever met in my life, he wound up his hand and hit him where the cancer was, in the stomach. Punched him so hard until the man died. Just his hands fell off the bed. And the doctor screamed, "He's dead, he's dead." And he looked up and said, "You killed him, you killed him. The family will sue you, you killed him." Smith Wigglesworth wasn't upset one bit. He said, "He's healed." And that's the way he would say, "You are healed." He says, "He's healed." He didn't pronounce H's. He said, "He's healed." And he didn't stop, you know. He just went on down the line praying. About 10 minutes later down the line, here came the man walking. He'd gotten up off that bed. He had moved the doctor to one side. And he was walking in that funny little hospital dress, you know, that comes along here like this and is open in the back. And here he was following Smith Wigglesworth with his hands in his up in the air, praising God. He said, "I have no pain. I feel wonderful inside. I have energy that I had not had for I don't know how long." And he was following him. And Smith Wigglesworth is so unusual. He didn't turn around and say, "Well, thank God. Oh, praise God. Everybody look at it." To him, it was such a usual thing. He said, "Well, just thank God for it." And he just went on praying for people. Now, that was the first time I'd heard of Smith Wigglesworth. And inside of me, I said, "Say, someday I want to meet him."
So that was my pastor, Dr. Lester Sumrall. He often said, "I want to find out where the Holy Spirit is moving and get right in the middle of it." I hope you're like that too, because Christianity doesn't have to be dead, dull, and boring for you. And if you're in a place where the Holy Spirit is moving, sometimes he moves in some unusual ways. Dr. Sumrall often said to us, many people, they never move beyond their first experience with God. They just won't move out of it. However they found God, that's it for them. That's the way it is. Can't happen any other way. Can't come ever any other place. Just like this. This is how I know God. I'm comfortable with that. But you know what? God is not into your comfort. And some of the things he does might make you uncomfortable. They might scare you. They might move you to tears or laughter or some other kind of emotion. But if God wants to do it his way, and you want revival, and you want to move in the Spirit, you have to be open to how he wants to do it, when he wants to do it, and where he wants to do it. And you should be looking for that place. Often, people have unanswered questions about revival, unusual manifestations of the Holy Spirit in meetings, or the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So a couple of weeks ago, we sent out some emails to you asking you to send in your questions. Ask some questions, things that you want to know, things maybe you have unanswered, things you maybe think are unusual. If you have a question about it, send it in. So a number of you sent some responses. If you didn't send response, I'm not going to answer your question. So if you've got an unasked question, it's not going to get answered today for sure. But we're going to try to answer some of the questions that came in the emails that you sent. Now, people have a lot of questions about revival and so forth and so on. Sometimes it's about speaking in tongues or speaking in tongues and interpretation. You know, should somebody, for example, you know, why would God give a message in tongues if there's no interpreter in the place? I don't know. But he could do that. Evidently, he did do that because Paul gave an instruction about it. He said, if there's no interpreter, don't give the message. So that's pretty simple. You know, you just have to follow the instructions. If you want to know why God does that or why he would do that, just ask him. Ask him and he'll tell you. So sometimes it's unusual, but you know, there should be an interpreter in this service. You know, if you're in a congregation where people are filled with the Holy Spirit, there should be somebody in there that's able to interpret. But if you're not sure and you don't know, just keep it to yourself. And then maybe bring it up to leadership some other time, and they'll make a place for it and make sure there's an interpreter, somebody who can say it. Sometimes people say about speaking in tongues, when can I speak in tongues? Well, just about any time is good, right? In the morning, in the evening, at work, when you're driving. But if you're driving, just don't close your eyes. Don't close your eyes and watch your speed. Yeah.
Yes.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So no real instruction manual with the gift. It's just you do it and use it. Build yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. It'll come out well. Amen. Praise the Lord. So anyway, people have questions, and we're going to endeavor to answer some of the questions that came in. Probably the only stupid question is the one you didn't ask that you want to know. And, you know, we'll try to be kind about it. But anyway, one question that came in is, how do you know if something you are experiencing, receiving from the Holy Spirit during a service or a move of God is for you personally or is for you to share with the congregation? Well, that's a good question. Because sometimes, you know, especially if you're just coming into the things of the Spirit, sometimes it's hard to know. You know, you're kind of trying to discern, first of all, if it is God and so forth and so on. You may have some questions in your heart about it or some uncertainty. And, you know, like most people, we don't want to look stupid, you know, or something like that. We're usually more worried about ourselves than we are about what God wants to do in the service. That's a problem. You should be more concerned about what does the Holy Spirit want to do here? Amen? So, and you should be ready to be used of him. Because anybody that's filled with the Holy Spirit could give a message in tongues or could give a message, a prophetic message, if God would move upon them to do that. So the question is, how do you know if something you're experiencing or receiving should be shared? Well, you know, some things God does give to us for personal edification, even in the middle of a service. I mean, I can be preaching about one thing and God can be speaking to you about a specific thing, maybe something I said or maybe something you thought I said, because sometimes after services people say, you know, you were preaching and you said, and I said, did I say that? I don't think I said that. But maybe the Holy Spirit was moving in that person's heart and bringing to their attention something that's pertinent to them that was sparked by the message that I gave. So that's important. So, but sometimes God gives you things for personal edification or building up, and sometimes he gives you something that you can share with the congregation. And it is important to know, you know, when things should be shared and when you should be keeping them to yourself. So, first of all, if you're unsure about it, just ask God. You say, well, that's pretty elementary, but yeah, that's right. It is elementary, but you should just ask God, is this something that I should share? And then listen for him to speak back to you, because he does talk. I mean, you know, we pray a lot of times to God, you know, giving him our laundry list of things and requests, and then we hang up the phone and say, I'm busy now, I have to get to work, I have to do this, I have to do that, and we don't listen to hear his answer. So when you ask, expect that he's going to answer. And when he answers, you do what he said to do. Now, I know things are supposed to be decently and in order, but if you make a mistake in a service and you give a message in tongues or a prophetic message that's not at the right place, you know, we're usually pretty forgiving. You know, well, we're not going to beat you up for it. We may come to you later and say, you know, there would have been a better place in the service that you could have done that, and this is how we could do that. It's good to be decent, to have things in decency and in order, but it's better to hear from God than to not hear from God. Amen? So even if it came at the wrong place, you know, we can handle that. If it is from God and it's a message that we should receive, we want to hear it. Amen? Does that make sense to you?
Amen.
So, but you should kind of be conscious of what's going on and look to leadership. You know, there are times that we make times for people to give a message or to give a word from the Lord or to give a testimony or to give a scripture or something like that. And if you're unsure, you know, just kind of signal leadership and say, no, I have something from the Lord. You know, just figure out some way of communicating that or speak to one of the leadership, and they'll come and they'll punch me and say, this person has a word from the Lord, you know, and it's okay. We don't have to be so formal and so stiff that God can't move. Amen? I mean, I've been in churches and places where, you know, you wouldn't dare just jump in anywhere. I mean, there isn't a place. There isn't a place in, you know, one time I was in a service and I said to God, you know, there's just, this place needs to be shaken up a little bit and somebody should give a word. And he said, don't bother. He said, I'm not welcome here either. So sometimes it's like that, and you have to accept that. You know, you can't go beyond the leadership of a service or of a denomination or of a place that you're at. That person is in charge, or those people are in charge, and they can do it however they feel like God is calling them to do, and it's not your business to change them and fix them and, you know, fix their doctrine and all of their other stuff. You're not the religious police. Or you shouldn't be the religious police. You know, well, let's let that for the Muslims. They can send their religious police after somebody that's out of line. But, you know, Christianity doesn't work that way. It's a relationship with God. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So, submit to leadership and stay in tune with leadership during the service. You know, God gives leadership for a reason, because that does give some order to it and makes some sense out of it, makes time for things. Praise the Lord. So another thing to check is, is this what you're hearing or receiving? Is this the still voice, a still small voice of God, or is it just you, your spirit, your own spirit, speaking to your mind and revealing some things to you? So you should know if you're going to give a message or something, is it really from God? So I know sometimes when you're new at this, it takes, maybe it's intimidating and maybe you're unsure. But you can test things out, amen? God is not upset with you or put out with you if you test things. He says, try the spirits and see if they be from God. So you should test things out, amen? And if you do something wrong, you know, he's pretty He's pretty forgiving, and he'll allow you to make a mistake, and you know, he'll bring you correction if you need correction. He'll bring you direction if you need direction, and he will work with you on it. Amen? But his idea is that you should grow and you should become mature in the things of God. Isn't that okay? You should grow up in the things of the Lord. And you should want to be used of God. Paul said that we should, for example, he said that that above everything, that we should desire to prophesy. Now you say, well, I don't really want to do that. Well, that's okay, but the word says that you should want to. So if you've got a conflict with that, just, you know, take it up with God. It's his book. It's his instructions. If you don't like it, you know, talk to him about it. Maybe he'll change your heart about it. Maybe he'll change your mind about it. Amen? And maybe you'll be the first one to get up and give a message and so forth and so on. Praise the Lord. So however God wants to use you, the gifts are given by the Holy Spirit for the edification of the body. And every person is important. Every person is part of the body, and every person is important. So you have a place here. You have a place with God, and he will help you to grow in the gifting that he's giving. So the other thing you should ask yourself, am I operating in the gifting that I have been given by God? That's important. You know, if God has given you a gift, it's for a reason. It's for a purpose. It's for to be used in a way that brings blessing, not just to you, but to others. Amen? So you should be looking for ways to operate in the gifting that he's put on. If you're unsure about the gifting that you have, you should, number one, see God. Number two, talk to your leadership. Number three, get in the Word of God and find out about the giftings. Maybe you'll discover yourself in the Bible. You are in the Bible somewhere. Amen? Because God is talking to you from his Word. That's the most important way and the most frequent way that he speaks to people, from his Word. If it's not in the Word, you shouldn't be doing it anyway. Amen? Praise the Lord. So I know when we first came into this thing, you know, people moving in the Spirit and so forth, it was pretty scary business, because, you know, we had never been in services like that. A friend of mine invited us to a service. It was in the preacher's house, and it was in his basement. And to be frank with you, to be honest with you, I was pretty freaked out when people started speaking in tongues all together and all of this business. You know, I was looking for the exit. And I was trapped in. I couldn't get out, so I had to endure. But, you know, when I walked away from that place, I felt, you know, I think I got something there. And then I began to think about the place that we'd been going to church, you know, that mortuary. And it was pretty dead, dull, and boring compared with what was down in that basement with that preacher, that fiery preacher that was preaching on the Holy Ghost. So, it's kind of like a slippery slope. You know, you start playing on the banks and you can slip in. And so we kept playing on the banks and we slipped in. And God got a hold of us and began to move by his Spirit in our lives. And then the final thing about this thing is, should I share it? Should I not share it? Are your motives right? Are you doing it for you? Are you doing it for show? Are you doing it because you have something in your heart that you feel that God wants you to share? Our motives are important. You know, people say God knows my heart. I mean, most of the time in the Bible, most of the references to that phrase, they're not good references. He does know your heart. So we'll just leave that there. Praise the Lord. So anyway, check yourself. Check yourself up from the, do a checkup from the neck up. And find out if your motives and your hearts are right. And then move in the things of God, and it's going to be okay. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. Next question. How can you prepare to receive? You say, this is the strangest message I ever heard. And I never heard a preacher just going over questions. But you know what? If you can't get your questions answered, why do you even come to service? Amen? So anyway, it's what we're doing today. We're doing questions and answers. Number two. How can you prepare to receive what the Holy Spirit has for you during a revival service or a move of the Holy Spirit? I think that's a good question. Amen? How can you prepare to receive something? You know, the reality is that, you know, I guess I didn't know Sarah was, well, I did know yesterday that she was going to talk about prepare in her communion message because I talked to her. But before that, when I was working on these questions, I didn't know. Preparation is important. If you don't prepare before you come to a service, even I'm not talking about a quote-unquote revival service, because some revival services are just it's just a title that somebody placed on the service, okay? Doesn't have anything to do with the move of God or anything, you know. A revival service is when we sing songs and when there's fiery preaching and when there's, you know, an altar call and so forth and so on. That doesn't make revival. That doesn't make a move of God. Because some of those can be just as dead as normal church. So, but the reality is that you should prepare, we should prepare, anytime we come together to worship God. If you look in the Old Testament of how God instructed people to come before him and worship, it took quite a lot of preparation. You know, they were having to sacrifice animals and so forth and so on. And it couldn't be just any old animal. It had to be, you know, the best one. And there were certain ways they had to do certain things. I mean, you can read about all of those instructions. I understand we're not under the law now. We're under grace. Thank God, you know, we don't have to butcher sheep in here. Hallelujah. It's a messy business. I grew up on a farm, and we used to butcher our own, you know, sheep and hogs and cows and all of that stuff, and that's nasty. Thank God we don't have to do that anymore, because Jesus, the Lamb of God, went to the cross for the sins of the world once and for all, and he's not going to do it again, and we can receive from him full the person full of grace and truth, and have your sins forgiven and never look back. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, but you should prepare for services. But this is, I think, one of the most important scriptures about this is what Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. He said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." Hunger and thirst for righteousness. If you're hungry and you're thirsty for righteousness, the Bible says you're going to be filled. So that's the most important component of your preparation life when you're coming to a service, when you're going to be a part of a gathering, or when you're going to even go to a prayer meeting or be part of your cell group. That part of your preparation is you should be hungry for the things of God. If you're not hungry for the things of God, you know, he's not going to make you. He's not going to just slap you upside the head and say, "Get hungry." Either you're hungry or you're not hungry. You know, when our kids were small, it was no mystery when they were hungry. Especially when they were babies and it was midnight, you know, they were hungry. Feed me, mama. Thankfully, I didn't have to do the feeding because Pastor Karen was nursing them. So I just had to pick up after the feeding. But be hungry. Be hungry for the things of God. Be hungry like a kid, you know. Be hungry like a growing kid, like a teenager, you know. We're just with my grandchildren a couple of days ago, and those kids are growing. You know, the oldest one, he's 16 now. Going to 15. He's going to be 16 this year, and the youngest one is 2, just turned 2. And there's 7 of them. And when it's mealtime, you know they're hungry. And I had to pay for the pizza. And it was like the national debt. Ever increasing.
Party pizza 24/7.
What?
Party pizza
24/7. All right. Praise the Lord. You got it. You can tell a hungry one there. It's lunch is coming up here. Okay. I'll try to get done before too long here. Yeah, so that's the most important component, is to be hungry. The second thing is that you need to open your spirit to God and to the things of God. You know, if you just come in out of your busy life and you just breeze in and hit a seat and you go, "I made it again." You know, it might take you 3/4 of the service just to get in tune with anything the Holy Spirit is doing. So some preparation would help. And, you know, every person is different. You know, some people, you know, worship music just, you know, it does it for them. And, you know, some of us just have to pull away from the computer, get down on our knees and pray. Just, you know, shut everything out. You know, find your prayer closet, whatever that, wherever that is, and just get alone with God for however many minutes it takes you to settle down your spirit, get the week off of you, get the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust for other things, get that out of your thinking and out of your spirit, and just spend some time. You know, I'm not suggesting you have to take hours and hours and hours to prepare for a service, unless that's what it takes for you. You know, if that's what it takes for you, do it. But at least start somewhere and say, you know what, this morning I'm going to the service, this evening I'm going to the service, this afternoon I'm going to the service, I'm going to the service all day, but I'm going to prepare somehow. And just spend some time doing that, even if it's only a few minutes. Start somewhere. Start somewhere and let God do something with you. Amen? And if you're feeling out of sorts and you've just been in strife, you know, you could start by repenting. Say, Father, you know, I didn't do that very well. I didn't handle that very well. Thank you for your forgiveness, and help me to have more grace with people around me, and so forth and so on, and the stress of life, and help me to deal with that a little better, you know, with my relationships and all of those kind of things that are going on. Just help me, Lord. And if you can't get that far, just say, Dear Jesus. There's something about the name. That name will change everything. It's a game changer. Amen? Amen. The power of the name. You know, sometimes we used to sing, used to back in, you know, the turn of the century when we were born. We used to sing about the blood, and we used to sing about the power of the name and all of those kind of things. And there was a reason for that. You know, nowadays sometimes that, you know, we've gotten away from that. You know, we have to be relevant, you know, whatever that is. I don't know that God's so much into relevance, but some people are. But you know, there's some there. If you kind of look back at the generations that had revivals and had moves of God, and you look into what they were doing and how they were preparing and how they were operating, that would maybe be helpful. Amen. Because we need a move of God. Do you think we need a move of God in this country?
Yes.
You out there in Pajama Land, do you think we need a move of God in this country? Do you think we need healing from COVID and all of that stuff? I think so.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Shut off the TV.
Amen.
The internet and all that stuff where all the bad news is. And crack the book. Or crack your phone or whatever it is, wherever you get the book. Amen. Praise the Lord. Get some good news. So open your heart to the things of God. Philippians 4:8 says, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, lovely, good report, virtuous, praiseworthy, think on these things or meditate on these things. That's a way to prepare to receive from God, meditating on the things of God. Jude verse 20 says, build yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Spirit. Use your prayer language in a powerful and effective way. Some of you have been practicing doing it 15 minutes a day or 10 minutes a day or 5 minutes a day or an hour a day. I don't know, however long you're doing it. But start somewhere and build yourself up. It's a way of preparing yourself. It's a preparation. That prayer language is between you and God. You can even, as we've been learning in the prayers Bible study course, you can even pray to interpret your prayer language. That makes it exciting, doesn't it? Amen. So you pray it in the Spirit, and then you find out what was I praying. So those are good things. Amen. So those are good ways to prepare. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 15 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." In other words, walk wisely, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. So preparation is redeeming the time. Amen. How much time do you waste in a day that you could be preparing to receive something from God? Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Rumble, whatever. You can spend a lot of time at that, can't you? It's easy to get caught up into it and just keep going, going, and going, and going. Keep clicking those likes. Hallelujah. Like, dislike, like, defriend, unfriend. Make friends, whatever. But the days are evil. So recognize the time that you live in. Start redeeming the time. Praise the Lord. Then verse 17 says, therefore, do not be unwise. So this is kind of the second time he says it for emphasis. But understand what the will of the Lord is. I mean, if you don't ever crack the book, how are you going to know what the will of God is for you? You guess it's this, you guess it's that. I don't know if you should just be going by guessing. And then it says, do not be drunk with wine. That's pretty clear, right? Don't get drunk with alcohol, liquor, which is dissipation. But, everybody say but.
But.
Here it comes. But be filled with the Spirit.
Amen.
And in the Greek it says, the literal translation is being filled with the Spirit, or you could say be continuously filled with the Spirit. Now that'll help your day. Amen. That will help your preparation. Be being filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourself. Then it tells you how. Speaking to one another and yourself as well. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So my question to you this morning is, what melody is going off in your heart? Is your heart still on your job? Your busy day tomorrow? And would this preacher quit, just shut up so that we can go home and go to lunch? Is it on your nap this afternoon? Or whatever you have planned for the afternoon. But what kind of song is going off in your heart? What kind of melody to the Lord is going off in your heart? You know, sometimes at night when I wake up, I just wake up and I'm conscious that there's been a melody, a song, a worship going on in my heart. That's the Holy Spirit working inside. Amen? We should have that going off a lot more than it does, because that would cure some of the problems that we got. Amen? If that melody is going off in your heart and you're not wasting your time on some of those other things, then you can give thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's great preparation. Amen? Question number 3. What's the most unusual manifestation of the Spirit that you have witnessed? Well, I've witnessed some unusual manifestations. When we first got into these things and we went to my pastor's church, one of the first things he noticed is that sometimes people got stuck to the floor during the prayer time. And, it could be a 110-pound lady and the biggest usher in the room couldn't pick her up off the floor. He said, well, why would God do that? I have no idea. I guess she needed to be stuck to the floor. Because maybe she was going to get up too soon or something. I don't know. I haven't seen it a lot since then, but we did see it pretty frequently then. That just seemed to be what God was doing. He was sticking people to the floor. Sometimes they were standing up, stuck to the floor. They couldn't move left. They couldn't move right. They couldn't move forward. They couldn't move backward. And somebody could get behind them like this and go try to move them. And they weren't budging. They were not moving. They were stuck to the floor. That was unusual. I thought it was unusual anyway. I don't know. It's nice to be mobile. Then one time I was in Donetsk with my pastor. I was videotaping. I was on a plank halfway over an orchestra pit in a big auditorium. And he was preaching from the stage. He was preaching about deliverance, how Jesus cast out devils. Which is an interesting subject, especially when you're in a place where there's lots of devils. Donetsk is in the Ukraine, and they were still in communism, under communism, and we were having these meetings anyway, just Not because the government liked us to have these meetings and whatever, but anyway, my pastor was preaching on deliverance, and I was on the plank with a video camera, videotaping stuff for our television program the next week when we would come home. And so I was trying to get some of him preaching and then, you know, bring it around slowly and do some crowd shots and, you know, just get some nice, what they call B-roll, is what they call it in television industry, so that when they edit it all together, make a nice program and nice preaching and whatever. So I'm looking over my shoulder and I see that in the seats, there's this guy levitating over the seats. I mean, he's like a foot and a half above the top of the seat and he's horizontal. He's suspended in the air. Now, if somebody told me about that, I'd say, okay, what have you been smoking? What kind of stuff you been on? But I really saw that. I mean, this guy, so I'm thinking, how can I get this on video? This is cool. I mean, I've never seen this before. So I start bringing the camera around and I just got the camera to where I was going to pick him up, and Dr. Summerall said, this is how Jesus cast out devils. He always said, come out! And when he said that, that guy fell to the floor. I mean, he went down like a sack of potatoes. Boom! And bounced on the floor in that aisle. And the people picked him up by the legs and pulled him to him. And that's all I caught. I didn't catch the in the air, just the fall. Boom. He's on the floor and they're pulling him out. I thought, wow, that was disappointing. But the question was, it wasn't disappointing because the guy got saved and he got delivered. It was disappointing that I didn't get it on video. So the only documentation is me telling you, and it's in one of Dr. Summerall's books because it was one of those unusual manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. So yeah, that was unusual. Another, maybe not so unusual, but remarkable, I can remember we were having camp meeting, and Dr. Summerall was getting ready to start the service, but Ellen Parsley, Pastor Rod Parsley's mother, had come to the service because the day before she had been to the doctor and he had diagnosed her with breast cancer. She had evidently a lot of tumors, and they were insisting that she be admitted to the hospital immediately for a radical mastectomy. She told the doctor, I am not going to any hospital until I check with my pastor. And so she flew from Columbus, Ohio to South Bend, Indiana, and came to the service. And at the service, when Dr. Summerall found out about it, he called her up and he said, I'm going to pray for you right now. I mean, this is before anything was happening in the service. And he prayed over her. He cursed that cancer, commanded it to die, commanded it to come out of her body. In Jesus' name. Amen. And then we went on with the service. But the rest of the story is that afternoon, or that next day, she flew back to Columbus and went to the doctor and asked for a test. He said, we don't need to test. We need to get you in for surgery. You know, she said, test. And they checked it out. There was no sign of cancer. Whatever was on the x-rays the day before is not there anymore. It was gone. Remarkable, remarkable instantaneous healing from a dreaded disease that was documented by the medical profession. It was, and then it wasn't. Praise God. So, unusual manifestations. Well, we used to go to Brownsville, Pensacola, the revival. Sometimes it's called the Pensacola Outpouring. And I had seen this in other places where people, you know, the Holy Spirit comes and makes the people quake and shake. You say, why does he do that? I don't know. But I know it's in the Bible because it says in the Bible that even the guards shook when the Lord of Life came out of the tomb. They shook. Those guards did, and they fell as dead men. So when the Holy Spirit shows up, stuff like that can happen. So sometimes when the Holy Spirit is moving, people shake. They get some extreme shaking. There was one lady, I think her name is Val. I presume she's still alive. But she was in the choir, and her head did some things that nobody's head or neck should be able to do. No, I mean, I don't know of any normal person that could do what her head or neck was doing, because she was like all over the place with her head and neck. And if you didn't know it, you thought, there's something wrong with that lady, you know, because it was weird. It was strange. But then we found out that this lady had been in a car accident and she had broken her neck. And in the revival, God had healed her from that accident and evidently set her head free. And so whenever she was feeling the presence of the Holy Spirit, her head started doing this stuff, this unusual shaking. It was strange. It was different. I guess if you focused on it, it could be distracting. But she could do that and sing. She was in the choir. I mean, it was like, wow, okay, that's cool. So anyway, we have a little video clip of a Brownsville revival. This is a testimony by a lady named, a young girl named Allison Ward, that shows a little bit of it. It's different, it's unusual, but listen to her testimony. Here it is.
When you see someone like this and you just make a snap judgment and you see someone doing something like this, you may say, oh man, you know, what's going on? But I want to tell you, this girl, she's a brilliant girl. Her mother's a school teacher. Her father's a doctor, medical doctor. And these girls have been raised in Brownsville Assembly. I know their life, and they're godly girls, but God during this revival has gotten a hold of them. And her sister is Elizabeth, that's given her testimony on television and here on Friday night in the church. And this is Allison. And God uses her when it comes time for the altar call and things like that. He uses her in intercession. And you'll see her back there really under the power of the Holy Spirit beginning to intercede for lost souls. And she's never done anything like this. I've known her for many years. I've known these girls since they were little bitty girls. I mean, like this, I've known them. I've been their pastor. But I know beyond any doubt whatsoever that these girls are being moved on by God's Spirit. And Allison, if you can, sweetheart, I want you to take just a moment and just share what the Lord's doing in your life and what's going on.
Okay. I'm 19 years old, and I've been through high school, and I'm in college now. And at the beginning of this revival, I didn't come for the first week. I was like everyone else. I wasn't so sure about it. And church had always been kind of just a requirement anyway. So it was the second Sunday of this revival that I came to the night service. And Steve preached on, I have a verse for it. It's in Matthew 6, 24. It says, "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other." And what Steve preached about that night was, you cannot hold on to the hand of God and onto the hand of the world at the same time. And all through high school and college, I've known God. Well, God has had a place in my heart, but he didn't really have a place in my life. And I never thought that God had anything to offer other than just sitting at church, and I'd never given him a chance to do anything in my life. So I was constantly running after the world. I was running after what I thought I had to have something that the world would give me. But whenever I heard that, what Steve preached, my eyes were open. Like Steve preached last night, Satan, he blinds us. And I was blinded by worldly things that I thought I had to have, and worldly friends that I thought I had to have. And all it took to totally change my life was for me to listen and really hear what these people, these men of God, are trying to say, what God is trying to say. You know, the Bible says people, they have ears to hear, but they don't hear what people are trying to say and what God is trying to say to them. And I listened that night, and God totally opened my eyes. He changed my whole life. I was terribly depressed because I had enough of God in me to know what I was doing was wrong and to be miserable doing it. And I was in the most horrible position you can be in. God says himself, he'd rather spit you out of his mouth than have you be lukewarm, because you're no good to anybody unless you're hot or cold. So I'm hot now. To me the first week of the revival. And like they say, you don't have to search after the manifestation. The manifestation is on me now, but it wasn't for a long time. I came to lots of meetings, and I got prayed for, and I never felt anything physically happen, but my whole life was transformed. And now God has given me the gift of intercession, and he's allowed me to feel, the Holy Spirit has allowed me to feel just part of the pain that he feels whenever people don't listen to him. I've realized that the Holy Spirit, he's here. He's waiting on all of us. Just a tiny bit of our heart to want him. He'll come in and change your whole life. He'll change everything.
Yes, he will.
Everything.
Whenever this is on you, Allison, you don't have pain, do you?
No, it's not painful at all.
You know, seriously, whenever someone sees someone like this, that's manifesting the Spirit of the Lord, they think they're under pain or they're under duress. But it's not like that at all. Tell them what it's like.
Well, there's two different kinds with me. Like right now, I think the glory of God is so strong up here, my body just can't really take it. And that's why I'm doing this. But there's other times whenever I come into God's presence and I don't move at all, but inside me, it's like there's just waves of God inside of me. Right. And then there's other times whenever I'm interceding, and it's not painful to my body, but it's painful to my heart, because I know that God loves people so much, and he's in a hurry. He wants everyone. There's not much more time. He aches and he grieves for your spirit. He grieves for you.
Things are unusual. You asked, have I ever seen any unusual manifestations? I've seen that. Why would God do that? I guess he gets people's attention. He got that girl's attention about her life. He said, well, I don't want to be a part of that kind of a service because I wouldn't want that to happen to me. Well, you know, when you have your prescription about how God should do what he does, probably you're just going to close the door for him doing anything for you. So he's probably not going to do to you what happened to that young lady. But he could move in your life in some unusual way. And if it's all about you being dignified, you know, maybe there's more wrong than just, you know, I don't want that to happen to me. Maybe we just need to check our hearts and find out, where is my heart with the things of God? Do I really believe Jesus is coming back soon? And my pastor used to say, he said that Jesus actually spoke to him in a vision and said, you know, my people sing about my coming, my people talk about my coming, my people preach about my coming, but my people live like I'm never coming. And that basically was Ellison's testimony. She knew enough about it, but she really wasn't living it. So God has mercy and he has grace, and you know, he put up with the people in Noah's time for over 100 years while Noah was building the ark and preaching to them. But as far as I know, the only ones that listened to Noah's preaching was his wife, his sons, and their wives, because they were the only ones that ended up on the boat. So I guess we have to examine, where are we in the scope of things, and where are we in the scope of time, the time that we live in? And then we can allow God to do whatever he wants to do, however he wants to do it, and manifest himself in whatever way that he wants to manifest himself. Okay, so Psalm 99, verse 1, let the Lord is king, let the nations tremble. He sits on his throne between the cherubim, let the whole earth quake. So God is into shaking things up. So that might happen here. I mean, it could happen anytime, could happen as he moves by his spirit. Another scripture says, who can stand in the presence of the Almighty God? His presence will shake anything and everything until all creation acknowledge that the Lord reigns. Psalm 99, verse 1. And so there are examples throughout the Bible about God shaking things up. In the book of Hebrews, it talks about there's a shaking coming. You know, there's a train coming down the track. It's coming. The train is on the track and it's coming. Be sure you know where you are. Be sure you know what God wants for you. So, one more quick question and then we'll close. So how do you know if someone is faking a manifestation of the Holy Spirit? Because people ask about that a lot. Maybe the best way to know is to recognize what's authentic and what is genuine. If you know what's genuine, you know, have you been in a store where they checked your $100 bill or your $10 bill or $20 bill for to see if it was counterfeit. They're not really looking for counterfeit bills. They're looking to see if the one that you have is authentic. So they know what to look for on the bill. And so they're, you know, when they're doing this business, you know, and they're looking at it, they're looking for the marks of the authentic $100 bill, $10 bill, $20 bill, whatever it is, to see if it's authentic. So the best way to recognize the fake is to know what's authentic, to know in your heart, to be able to recognize in your spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 says, "For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God." Verse 12 says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God." So it's through the Spirit of God that you can recognize if something is fake or something is authentic. You can go to the Word of God and check it out. You can go to leadership and ask questions. In the book of Acts, the demon-possessed girl that Paul and Silas met in Philippi, the city of Philippi, remember she was going announcing their crusade, but she was demon-possessed. How would you like to have the demon-possessed be the advertisers for your crusade, the advertisement for your crusade? She's saying, you know, these men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. And she did this for many days. And then the Bible says, finally, Paul got annoyed because he understood that she was a sorceress, and that she was demon-possessed, and he told the demons to get out of her, and then she couldn't do it anymore. So he could recognize that this is not authentic, this is fake. She's, you know, trying to be something, and there's probably some money behind it somewhere, as with all sorcery and so forth and so on. So if you don't understand something or you think it might be fake, just check it out with God. Amen?
Amen.
Acts chapter 15 verse 8 says, "So God knows, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did to us." He's talking about the Gentiles when they got the Holy Spirit. Peter was preaching about the Gentiles getting the Holy Spirit, and he said God knows the heart, and he gave them the Holy Spirit just as he did to us. So there was some measurement, something to measure it by. They measured it by experience, and they measured it by what God had put in their hearts. So that's how you can tell. So, you know what? It's a lot harder to get a fire started than it is to put it out when it comes to the things of the Spirit. So, don't be so worried about, you know, something being fake. If it's fake, it'll be exposed. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I want to close with this Psalm 102. It says, "Then the nations," this is verse 15, "then the nations will tremble before the Lord. The kings of the earth will tremble before his glory, for the Lord will rebuild Jerusalem, and he will appear in his glory. He will listen to the prayers of the destitute. He will not reject their pleas. Let this be recorded for future generations, so that the people that are not yet born will praise the Lord." Really important, important psalm. So we're going to pray for the folks on live stream today. And I want to do this in just a little different way. If you all can help me to pray for them today, I'd like you just to come up here, and we're gonna direct our prayers towards the camera. So just come on up. If you want to stay sitting, it's okay. But come up and help us pray for those out there, Pastor Karen. Come. So we're gonna pray for you out there. We're going to pray that God will touch you and transform your life by his Spirit. We want the Spirit of the Lord to move in a powerful way. Those of you who are out there in YouTube land, in Facebook land, we want God to move in your life in an awesome and miraculous way. So let's begin to pray. You all here up here, you can point towards the camera, put your hands towards the camera. Just begin to pray in the Spirit. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we pray over these who are watching today. We ask you, Lord, for a move of the Spirit, a move of the Spirit of God in their lives, that you will manifest yourself in them and through them and to them in a powerful way. Father God, we ask you, Lord, that you would move in their homes, in their families, Father, that you would heal the sick, Father God, that you would bring healing and wellness and wholeness to them, Father, that you would set the demon-possessed free, Father, that you'd set those captives free, Lord. If these have family members, Father, that are not serving you, Father, we bind the devil concerning them, and we ask you to open their hearts, Father, to receive the gospel so that they can know Jesus Christ as Lord and as King in their lives, Father. And we ask you, Father, to send laborers across those that are straying, Lord, to speak to them the word of God, to give them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. And Father, thank you that Jesus said that as many as received him, to those that believed on his name, that he gave them to be the rights to become children of God. So Lord, we pray that you would move and manifest yourself in powerful ways in these days, in the lives and the world of those that are watching, Father, that in the power of the blood of Jesus, Father, they would be saved, healed, delivered, and set free, that in the name of Jesus and by the power of his blood, their provision would come, Lord. The manifestation of your miraculous power would come, the signs, the wonders, and the miracles that they need in their lives, in their families, in their homes, in their workplaces, Father. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Father, we speak your blessing over those watching and listening today, Father, those on the live streams and those in the podcast. And we ask you, Father God, to manifest yourself strong on their behalf, Father, that your peace that surpasses understanding would keep and guard their hearts and minds by Christ Jesus, that your grace and your peace would be multiplied to them through knowing you. And Father God, that above everything, Lord, that they would put their hearts right before you, and that they would manifest the things of God and of your kingdom, Father. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Be blessed in the name of Jesus. Be blessed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Be blessed by the blood of Jesus. Be blessed in his name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.